Today's program has been brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. EatWisconsinCheese.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. The more pizza I eat, the more I continue to stand by that. So I try not to pick favorite episodes or favorite pizza places because that's just not my thing as a pizza radio host. They all have a special little place in my heart. But despite what I just said, we all know that sometimes parents do pick favorites, and so I'm going to admit that today might be one of my favorite episodes yet, and it hasn't even started. That's because we were talking about the revival of one of the most nostalgic 90s kid food items out there, the combination of so many food things I love, so many things that are classic New York and classic Montreal, old and new, good and better. We also have two of my favorite people in the house and one of my favorite food heroes. That's Marion Bull and Sarah Jampel, editors at the ultimate website for home cooks, Food 52, and my former bosses, and Noah Burnimoff, founder and manager of Mile End Deli and Black Seed Bagels, which brings the best of Montreal to the slightly bigger island of Manhattan and my current home, Brooklyn. Is that enough gushing for you all? Or are you all?
I need more gushing.
More gushing. Well, we're all going to gush about pizza bagels in just a second. So I think it's safe to say that collectively the three of you have relaunched the pizza bagel to its rightful place in New York City. Did you guys conspire to do this? I feel like September 2014 was the date that you guys set to like bring it back. Like, you posted about the pizza bagel, you started serving pizza bagels at Black Seed. How did this come about?
Well, it was uncoordinated as much as yeah, that
sure. There's like a secret underground mission headquarters that is underneath the studio that not even I know about.
No, we started serving pizza bagels because why not? You know, they're great.
Because why not?
And it made sense just because we're not really open at night. We're obviously a bagel shop, and so it made sense for us because we're already baking anyway. So, mm-hmm. But I grew up with them because they're great.
They are great.
You know, great snacks after school.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah? You brought it back for Not Sad Desk Lunch, which is a great Food 52 column. It's the happiest desk lunch there is in my mind, but Where did the inspiration for the post come from?
Well, what you don't know is that I was paid. No, I'm kidding. All right, it does not have any stakes in my pizza bagel experiences. But I hadn't had a pizza bagel in a long time, and when I came to New York, I was feeling a little bit lost, a little bit lonely, and I was thinking about how when I came home from school, my mom would make me a pizza bagel reliably. It was very easy for her and very delicious for me.
Yes. Yes, and we were talking just before we went on air about defining the terms, which I feel like in a hybrid food, like the pizza bagel, it's important. So you have some thoughts on this, Marianne, and I'm sure you do too, Noah.
I think that so we were talking about the difference between bagel bites and pizza bagels.
Often conflated.
Right, especially when you're Googling both of them frantically at 1:55 p.m. I think that all bagel bites are pizza bagels, but obviously not all pizza bagels are bagel bites.
What makes you say that? Well, I mean,
because bagel bites are theoretically pizza on miniature bagels, even though that could probably be contested, because what is your definition of a bagel and what is your definition of pizza? But
does a bagel have to have
different
a hole
ingredients
in the middle of it?
A bagel needs to have a hole in it.
Yeah, so these have more of a dimple than here. I'll go.
Those are like bagel bialys, basically.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's the bagel bite is essentially a mini bagel bialy. Mm-hmm. That's the proper
but
way of
do bialys always have like a certain seasoning on them?
If you guys, the listeners, are wondering what that sound is, we have a box of bagel bites in the studio, courtesy of Marianne and Sarah, because they are always prepared, and we're checking it out.
So, like, this is I would call that a dimple, not a hole.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, Noah, like, you are a bagel maker. Like, how do you think they're making those? Like, they're not.
How are they making those?
Like,
I I'd prefer not to know. it's more blissful not knowing how they make those. But, you know, yeah, that's not a bagel. It's not a bagel. It's at best a bagel bite, as though bagel bite was like one word. You know, it was like a single word. It was like, you know,
probably
self-defining.
Different species.
In and of itself. If you're going to refer to it as a bagel bite, two words, I think they don't apply. It's a misnomer, because mm-hmm. those simply cannot be bagels.
Right. A bagel bite would be quite literally a bite of a bagel.
Yeah, totally. Sure. I agree with
you're
you.
Right. We're all in agreement here. So, as you said, Sarah, this is a really nostalgia, memory-packed food. You mentioned your mom made them for you, but what else does the pizza bagel bring up for you guys? What was sort of like your pizza bagel strategy? Noah, I'm very curious about your Montreal bagel spot and sort of your thought on Montreal bagels versus New York bagels as vessels for pizza. This is just a safe sharing space for you guys to talk about your pizza bagel memories.
I'm assuming that I'm not alone in that the first time somebody says pizza bagel, I think the Bagel Bites theme song. And
yes,
that I think that was like arguably one of the most
catchy
and like able to stick in your head.
Yeah.
Theme song, like jingles of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Do we all know it?
Yeah, we do.
Can we all sing it? Because we can't play it on air because it is copyrighted, but we can sing it. I think that's fine. It's our own interpretation. can we count off?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't actually know it.
We'll teach you. We'll teach you, and then you'll repeat it.
I grew up in Canada, so we don't.
Hey, so did I. I use that excuse all the time, but I know it. It was like it was a North American phenomenon. Yeah, we'll sing it. You might know it. You don't think you know it, but you might know it.
Go.
Okay. One, two, three.
Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
And right. Also, like, remember, like, imagine, like, kids in the 90s on, like, roller blades, and then their moms holding a, I think, paper plate of pizza bagels, and then the kids just rushing by her and taking all of them, and her having this sort of surprised face, like, oh, goodness, these children and their appetites. Like,
but these pizza bagels, there's also only, what, nine? In the tray, like
eat all of it.
Polish that off.
Nine is a funny number.
It is.
No,
mm-hmm.
Isn't it for
it's a great number.
Funny number for number of portions?
The Bagel Bites people on the
six,
phone.
6, 12, you know.
Yeah, 20. I mean,
back to your question though. I think that the great thing about now switching from Bagel Bites to pizza bagels. I think the great thing about a pizza bagel is it's one of the best. Or one of the easiest ways to make pizza for one person.
True.
It's one of the best uses for a toaster oven, which is kind of where we started, because Not Sad Desk Lunch is like all about like not depressing lunches that you can make and or eat at work.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have toaster ovens, and like you can make yourself a pizza bagel at the office, and like it can be pretty awesome.
True. Assembled fresh.
Exactly.
You bring the ingredients separately, right? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would bring a half of a like not bad bagel, or maybe half of a frozen bagel if mm-hmm. that's your
push
jam.
Comes to shove,
tomato sauce, and then cheese that you've shredded yourself, because pre-shredded cheese has gross stuff in it.
It does, but I mean the same theory applies as that of the Lunchable, which we were also mm-hmm. talking about, and is. Definitely a cousin, I would say a close cousin of the Bagel Bite, and even of, you know, maybe a mass-produced distant relative of your beautiful homemade Food 52 pizza bagel. But the components, like putting together those simple components, I think is like a huge part of the appeal.
I also think that in choosing your bagel, or if you're eating a Lunchable, then a different sort of vessel, you really have to think about the size of the hole. Which is why I would be wary of smaller bagels with bigger holes, because then you're losing some of the sauce surface area. So I'm just wondering, because what is beautiful about a bagel bite is the dimple doesn't affect how much coverage you have for the sauce.
I mean, Noah, you can speak to this, because
I think it's about someone mowing the lawn.
Possibly.
I think it's about the right balance between dough and sauce and cheese. It's not just, you know, maximum surface coverage. You know, I think there's a finesse that you're overlooking perhaps in the crafting of a perfect pizza.
How are you guys making yours? What's mm-hmm. and how long did you like play with it before you reached the perfect one?
We just took the bagels and we made a good sauce and we melted cheese over it in the oven. I mean,
in a straight up oven, not like a toaster oven or convection.
Well, we have a wood burning oven, okay. So we do that in a wood burning oven.
But so do you when you're putting the sauce on, do you leave like a little edge so that it doesn't spill over the bagel, or are you just kind of like whatever?
Well, what happens is the cheese melts all like from the top all around the sides and kind of encapsulates.
Oh, because it melts so quickly because you have that super hot oven.
It's actually not super hot. It's not like a pizza oven hot. It's bagel oven hot, but it's
which
still,
is what?
Which is for. Somewhere between 430 and 470.
Okay.
Something we could make at home.
But you can, you can do that at home. I mean, the toaster oven's good for that because it gets really hot really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to put enough cheese that it totally encapsulates the sauce so it doesn't ooze out.
You don't want to like set off your work fire alarm because you were trying to make an overzealous pizza bagel.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
set some foil down. You know, set a little foil.
Definitely
down.
Definitely some foil. And also, pro tip from Wikipedia, of all places, lightly toast your bagel first. I don't know how you guys don't do this, but you can toast it to prevent, what is it, sogginess? Is that what we should have quoted it? We should have, Marion wanted to do a dramatic reading, and we only have so little time, but they do suggest.
Express myself.
So any other tips for the home expert pizza bagel maker? I mean, I don't think people are thinking too hard about it, which is part of the beauty of the food.
It's important not to think too hard about it.
Yeah.
Don't stress out.
Yeah,
red
really
pepper flakes? I would add red pepper flakes as a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice touch.
Low investment, high reward.
Dry oregano, if you'd like.
Fresh basil.
Pepperoni.
Mm. Yeah. Where are you guys getting your pepperoni?
That's a good question. I don't actually know.
Right. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We're actually going to take a break.
Okay.
Maybe Noah can find out on our break. Before we do have lots more pizza and bagels to talk about. But first, it is time to bring back our, you know, briefly on hiatus, pizza news brief.
Pizza news brief.
Pizza Hut is up there with Walgreens, Amazon, and eBay, at least when it comes to its app. Research group ARC360's report, quote, the state of the U.S. retail apps economy, because yes, this is a thing people are doing formal reports on now, identifies the best and worst performing retail apps according to consumer reviews. And pizza has obviously made it to the top four, proving that people love pizza just as much in app form as in slice form. No one here is surprised, I'm sure. China-based blog The Beijinger has launched its annual Pizza Cup, where it pits Beijing's best pizza restaurants against each other, March Madness style, which I think is brilliant, and I think we should do it here on Pizza Party. But in honor of their competition, they've posted an incredible timeline of the history of pizza in Beijing over at thebeijinger.com. Beijing was actually pizzaless until 1990, at least according to this timeline, so pretty recent. Now you know. Check it out. Back here in New York, Adam Kubin's beloved pizza pop-up Margot is launching two more dates for December. Tickets for December 13th go on sale the 6th, and December 27th go on sale the 13th. So we will see you guys there. That's your pizza news brief this week. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Pizza Party on Heritage Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
are listening to Target Practice by Hard Bodies.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew W.K. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Welcome back to the Pizza Bagel Party. We've got Marion Bull and Sarah Jampel of Food 52 in the studio, along with Noah Burnimoff of Mile End and Black Seed Bagels. We're just getting into our Roberta's Pizzas here, so I'm going to bring up the inevitable debate, the elephant in the room, if you will, which is the bagel. So what are our feelings? I mean, I don't want it to be a fight. I want it to be a calm discussion amongst friends. But no, I'm curious to hear from you sort of your stance, and I'm sure you have one, on the Montreal bagel versus the New York bagel, and especially as it applies to the pizza bagel. I mean,
I think people like what they know best. And so the thing that is most familiar to them is going to be the thing that they're going to root for. And I think it's a little bit of a impossible debate. There's no winners in a debate about bagels. So that's why we did Black Seed, which is kind of a hybrid of the two, because we felt that there were advantages to both bagels. Mm-hmm. And while visually our bagels look more like they're from Montreal, excuse me, we're eating pizza. even though visually they might trick you into thinking that they're definitely like straight ahead Montreal bagels, the texture is not particularly, you know, it's partway to a Montreal bagel, but it's not meant to be.
For sure. And where did you guys grow up? Are you firmly on the side of the New York bagel, or have you had Montreal bagels? You've had Black Seed, I know. What are your thoughts?
I have had Black Seed bagels and love them. I grew up in Massachusetts, which, like, doesn't have a bagel culture. So mm-hmm. I grew up on, like, Brugger's bagels, mm-hmm. which, like,
which are good.
I was happy with them when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. On my, like, turkey sandwich with mayonnaise and lettuce on my Brugger's bagel.
A Shonda.
What about you, Sarah?
I've also had and inhaled Black Seed bagels. I grew up in Baltimore, where the bagels are face-sized and quite fluffy, with a good crunch on the outside and then a really fluffy interior.
Do you like that?
Those are my bagels of choice. For a pizza bagel, I really like some heft.
How come we never hear about those in the pizza debate? I mean, clearly, I feel like I'm missing out now. That sounds like a great bagel.
I think a good pizza, and obviously, Noah, you want to know how you feel about this. I think a good pizza bagel is chewy, like a good... Like, the Roberta's crust is, like, it's not too chewy, but it's, like, it's got some chew to it. Mm-hmm. But it's not too heavy. And I think that a good pizza bagel fulfills those same mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, the pizza bagel, as I said at the top of the episode, it's a beautiful hybrid food. I think it's, I mean, one of a small list of highly successful hybrid foods. And, Noah, you are no stranger to the hybrid, because you've hybridized these two seemingly warring bagels into one really harmonious, delicious bagel. So are hybrid foods better than the original? Can we use the pizza bagel to say, hey, pizza bagels are better than pizza and bagels? Or mm-mm. where do you guys come down mm-mm. on that?
No.
Strong feelings.
Yeah, no, I would have to say that neither pizza nor bagels are worse than a pizza bagel.
I would agree.
Is a pizza bagel more than the sum of its parts, though?
No, it's the sum of... a quick meal and you know, not
it's exactly the sum of its parts.
Like, would you rather be eating a pizza bagel than this awesome Roberta's pizza right now?
Why do you think there's a time and a place for everything?
Yeah, sometimes I'd rather have a pizza bagel. It does a very good job of what it needs to do, and has the ability to be very delicious. But like I just don't think that you can say that it's better than pizza because it's objectively not.
Right. I would never give up pizza or bagels for the pizza bagel in a world where that was a cruel, cruel choice.
Also, pizza and bagels have very specific like traditions, like sort of like scenarios, like traditional scenarios in which they're eaten. Like they both sort of evoke this emotional response of like eating, you know, if you're in New York, like eating a slice and folding it in half, or like sitting around on your friend's floor and like tearing into like a delivery pizza where you open up the box and yada yada yada. A bagel is this sort of like, oh, it's the morning, it's Saturday, like I'm like drinking my coffee and I'm eating my bagel with cream cheese or whatever your bagel order is. Like, we have these sort of emotional and nostalgic ties to these two specific foods, and I don't think that a pizza bagel could ever override that.
That's true, although one could argue or just throw out there that the pizza bagel is so uniquely New York and sort of beautiful in a way because it illustrates the overlap, like literally the immigration overlap of Italians and Jews. Like, often in the early days we were like, you know,
hold on, but do you think that they were making pizza bagels then?
No.
Or that we were made them in the 1990s when we came home from school?
Well, Wikipedia sets them in the 70s, actually.
The 70s?
In the San Fernando Valley, which is needs a citation, clearly.
I think they're more theoretically New York and like intellectually New York than
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, again, as a representation, maybe like we're getting a little too literal in like, yes, we would never choose any of these things. It's like a terrible Sophie's choice, but just the idea of them is so nice. And I'm actually racking my brain for another hybrid food that's similar, and I'm like coming up short.
A cronut. Sorry, I said it.
Yeah, but that's like not something you can achieve. Beautiful. Yeah. Like,
well, that's the thing about pizza bagels is that they're attainable for a home cook or for some. You don't even have to be a home cook. You have to have
or
access.
Or a teenager. Yeah. After school.
Or a 13-year-old. Or like no supervision. Yeah.
You have to have access to a bagel that you like. And then you have to also have access to cheese and sauce, which like are not high barriers to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas making your own pizza at home, we know how challenging that is. Making your own bagels at home, we know how challenging that can be.
Mm-hmm.
Making a pizza bagel, like any, like, a lot of people who are not in their right minds are making pizza bagels successfully right now in this country.
True. It's a problem. Or just going to Black Seed and eating them, in their right minds late in the evening. So obviously, when we talk about pizza bagels, it's like a gateway to talking about just 90s nostalgic food in general. And you guys did a great post on that on Food 52 as well. Home recipes for like Caesar salads and molten lava cakes. Do you guys have other, or, you know, I'm assuming that the pizza bagel is your favorite nostalgic food, which is a wrong assumption. So let's back up. What is your favorite 90s nostalgia food and why? It's okay if you have to think about it.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed Mae West, but I know it's not a 90s nostalgia food. So I had this like thing for these little
I would put
cakes.
Them squarely in the 90s.
There were two. There was the vanilla version, the Mae West, and there was the Joe Louis, which was the chocolate version.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes have a nostalgia for that. I also actually earlier today I had nostalgia for Lick-A-Made.
Lick-A-Made.
What is
that?
Do
you remember Lick-A-Made?
Also, I don't know what a Mae West is.
Which is amazing. Hold on. Let me explain Lick-A-Made.
Okay, back up.
Lick-A-Made is a piece of candy that you lick and dip into more sugar.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Definitely.
Like the flavored.
Oh, and it tastes so weird. The thing you lick tastes so weird.
Is it white?
The baton.
It's like
candy
a stick,
baton.
A light-colored candy.
I think it was like white or like light pink or something. Lick-A-Made. So that was really good.
We were going to the same dépanneurs because both of those are like, which
Big
is
League
our
Chew.
Bodega.
I'm going to put out Big League Chew.
Yes, Big League Chew plus one.
I love that you could chew the entire bag. Like, eventually, you just kept adding. Like, I would just open it, keep adding. And then at the end, I basically couldn't chew it anymore.
Yeah. We need to back up. Neither of you know what a Mae West is?
I have no idea.
No, I think
it's
a Canadian.
Is it a Canadian?
I think it might be a Canadian Quebec thing, even.
It's like a sort of like a Twinkie, but a flat patty. I mean, it's nothing, but it's like a cake and icing.
Okay.
treat that came in little individual bags.
But is it filled
bags.
Or is that
yeah, there's both. But, it's so the May West was two vanilla cakes, very flat discs,
so good.
Vanilla cream and a chocolate dipped in chocolate.
Got it. I would say Count Chocula cereal also. That was my like once a year on your birthday when you get sugary cereal. That was always
that was your pick.
Also, we ran a recipe for these recently, Dunkaroos, which I didn't know until Molly A, freak genius
life.
That she is, wrote about them. I didn't know that they're discontinued now. But but I will say they're very easy to recreate with funfetti icing and Teddy Grahams.
Yes. Yes, Sarah?
My vote for nostalgic food, and I'm not sure... I mean, people are still eating this today. I could eat it if I wanted. But in terms of my own personal nostalgia is packaged ramen, which I used to eat the, quote, oriental flavor, which came in the blue package. And I would just eat it. Like, I wouldn't even cook the noodles. I would eat dry ramen noodles and sprinkle the powder over top of them.
Wow.
I know people that would
consuming
do that.
Consuming the MSG just directly.
I mean, it's not that bad for you. I mean, the ramen's not very good.
I'm surprised we've never talked about this before, because when I was a small child, like straight up in kindergarten, chicken flavored ramen was my favorite food, such that I called it, everybody in my house called it soup that I like. Like I would be like, I want soup that I like now. And it was chicken flavored ramen. And I just distinctly remember like sitting in front of the TV watching Winnie the Pooh eating chicken flavored ramen. But look at how great I turned out.
Yeah. Clearly we're all
the flavor
here.
Packet?
We're all okay.
No, I would eat the flavor packet on the dried noodles, but I would eat it without cooking the noodles. I mean, I ate it both ways.
My Nana makes a great salad, like an oriental chicken salad, quote unquote, and she just toasts ramen noodles, I'm pretty sure, with like soy sauce and sesame oil and sesame seeds, and it's like the best thing ever. Crushes them in the bag, puts them in the toaster oven, speaking of other uses for a toaster oven. So, Noah, going back to the Montreal thing just briefly, where do you eat pizza in Montreal? I haven't lived in Montreal in a long time. My pizza show, obviously, took root here. And there's not like a Montreal style pizza, I would say. Although Marion and I have both geeked out over like the Greek pizza.
Is that in Montreal though?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We have it too. I mean, there's a big Greek community and like you can get that kind of thing. But where's your Montreal
pizza? I actually have not eaten pizza in Montreal in so long. And in large part because I've been just, you know, converted when I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. It was just like.
Game over.
I couldn't believe how many years I had gone without knowing real pizza. I'm serious.
That would, like, break
my, yeah, and it
my
was
dad's
it was
heart,
hard.
Lots
it was,
of Italian.
I know. I know. It's. I mean, maybe I probably haven't gone to the right places because I grew up on the West Island, and it just, you know, I probably wasn't. Yeah, I didn't have we didn't have the insight to find the right pizza, at least pre-internet era.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the pizza in New York is just so good. It's just kind
of
it's erased my memory of anything that I've ever any pizza I've ever eaten in Montreal. Okay. But I'm sure there's great pizza.
We'll have to go when we re-up our pizza game, because I too am like sorely lacking. Montreal just had a pizza week. And,
oh,
like, there's a little Italy, and there's great pizza. We used to order pizza from Pendelli's. I don't know if you ever eat Pendelli's, but that's my, like, you know, pizza of my youth.
What's it like?
I don't even know what to call it style-wise. This is going to sound like an insult, but it's a huge compliment. It's sort of like DiGiorno-y, like a mid, not a thin crust, not a thick crust, like a fluffy, crispy on the outside crust with lots of toppings. But they would do, instead of the little plastic tables, and I have talked about this on Snacky Tunes, they would do pizza dough balls, and those were like the most coveted thing. That's actually probably my nostalgic food, not like a packaged food, but
like the uncooked dough,
but it would be cooked. It was
like
a cooked dough ball, and
it was like a garlic knot without the garlic.
Exactly. And so instead of those stupid tables that you just throw away, it was like an edible treat that my brothers and I used to fight to the death over, until my dad just like wised up and got three of them, and then that fight was over.
Do you know what the history is behind the pizza table? What's up with that?
I don't. It'll be a future episode.
Okay, I will listen to that.
Next season, we're running out of episodes and we're running out of time. But before we wrap up, I have to ask you guys the question that I ask everyone, and we can put the bagel spin on it, but we don't have to. What do you think it is about pizza that people love so much? And again, you can extend it to the pizza bagel, but that's an option. What is it about pizza that just like gets you, and do you think gets people
pizza
in general?
I think it's a deep-seated biological response to the ratio between protein, vegetables, and starch.
Hmm. Nutritional.
It's all about evolution.
Very straight science. I like that, Sarah.
I think a lot of it has to do with that we eat it with our hands, but also it's like, I mean, like, pretty much not every comfort food, but most comfort foods have, like, a bready component and a cheesy component, and this has both of those that... but then there's also this thing in the middle of them, which is the sauce that, like, keeps either of them from being overpowering. But also, it's just the best food. It's just the best food.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, that's my official response.
It's just the best, period. Noah?
I think it's, I mean, it's in its simplicity. You know, when I eat, I like a little bit of fat, a little bit of acid, and something, some texture. And that's kind of what this does in a really, really simple way. And it's the same thing for a pizza bagel. You know, it's a good pizza bagel just needs a bagel and sauce and cheese.
Balance. So, yeah. Balance. Before we go, because we're not doing a crowdsourced slice of the week, where is your guys' favorite slice in New York? Just free association, top of your head, you're getting a slice.
Lucali. Even though I can't get a slice.
Lucali.
Even though I can't get a slice a there, I would get a pie from Lucali.
Okay.
My favorite slice in New York is in New Haven. Sorry.
What is it?
Modern not pizza.
Marion's just
been
bought.
I mean, like here, but also I do want to put in a vote for Carmine's in Greenpoint, which is a slice joint that nobody ever really talks about, and I want more people to know about it
because
they're nice there, and if you don't have a dollar, if you don't have $2.50 for your slice and you only have $2, they'll still give you a slice of pizza.
That's kind. That's really Carmine's, guys.
Wow.
Now we know. Well, thank you so much, Marion and Sarah, Food 52, and Noah Burnhamoff of Mile End and Black Seed Bagels for being with us today. This has been another wonderful episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio. You can also catch us anytime and all the backlog of episodes on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Huge thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizzas this season, to my sponsors, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, the fine musicians at Pizza Party Bass for the intro song, my engineer Liz, and of course, all of you guys for listening. We will see you next week, where we'll be taking on one of my personal favorite topics, pizza and feminism. So be sure to tune in, and yes, there will be pizza.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.